thanks again to everybody and from the group for asking me. Anybody who's here who wasn't here last week, like you said, everything's online, but we got some handouts. And, you know, a disclaimer on the handouts. It's just some points, a little reference, a little bit of an outline. By no means everything's in there. No way. No way am I going to be able to cover every nook and cranny of everything that's in these pages. But this way, so you're not frantically looking for a page, or if I'm referring to something, it's here, and then, of course, it's on tape, so that we can kind of all be present here for the experience of a new reality. But before we get there, last week, I kind of closed up kind of quickly, and so if we just, in preparation for what we're going to endeavor to cover tonight, we were in the pages of page 50-51, which talks about the great fact and then leads into the bedevilments, which, you know, page 52, I could take those questions that it asks me, was I a prey to misery, you know, couldn't hold a job, couldn't make a living, feeling a uselessness, full of fear, unhappy, couldn't seem to be of any help to other people, you know. That's what life looked like, completely, you know. However, life can look like that in the rooms of AA also, okay? And I'm not going to go back over some of the qualifying background for myself. I'll plug in a few little stories here and there tonight. But the first 5 months that I was in AA, coming to, you know, 2-3 meetings a day because I couldn't do anything else, you know, couldn't function too well, wasn't capable of going back to work. That's what my life looked like. And it looked like that whether it was day 14 or day 98, you know, because I was still out of my mind. You know, my life was still as extreme and as unmanageable as it was the day that God kicked me in the butt and moved me to come into AA. I didn't come to AA. It was not of within me. All right, I was moved to come in here because of an event that happened, an act of providence. You know, after 10 years of being out there again, after 5.5 years of so-called sobriety. So, you know, I have to look at that. I have to identify, you know, and plug in the story of, you know, my drinking in that page. And isn't it, you know, just perfect that I answer all those questions? I kind of get a little bit of a downward spiral. This is how bad it was. And then immediately it's followed up after the proposition of God either is everything or he's nothing, you know? And it was like, wow, I can, you know, as the book says, step from bridge to shore. And one simple question, you know, no matter what was going on here in my head, that either is or isn't. And it doesn't matter, you know, it is or isn't, not necessarily he or she or whatever that concept of higher power is for us at that moment. And that was more than, you know, the flimsy reed to hold on to for me, you know, that I had some vestige of faith that I came in here with, pretty badly mangled, but that's where I got my beginning. And on 55, the passage that deep down in every man, woman, and child is the fundamental idea of God. It may be obscured by calamity, by pomp, by worship of other things, but in some form or other it is there. We finally saw that faith in some kind of God was a part of our makeup, and I said yes to that. Some of these statements, I put this on the worksheets just as a reminder, that I have to turn these into questions. You know, did some kind of faith in God, was that part of my makeup, Rob? And I had to answer yes. So it was not so difficult, because I was pretty badly mangled, you know, gift of desperation, that we found the great reality deep down within us. And we're going to find out something else tonight, too, about the big, big, big part of this recovery process. That when I find out that the answer is deep down within, or, you know, a hint to where we're going, that my problems are of my own making, that I'm the problem. If I'm the problem, there's something that can be done about it. If I'm still blaming outside circumstances, the world, people, wives, children, employers, etc., I'm not going to recover. You know, I have to realize that it all lies right here, and that I am the problem. But inside the problem, deep down, is the answer. So I sat last night, as I do, and the front page of each week is pretty much a practice of mine, and that is that when I come out of meditation, I have a pad and pen right there, and I just write, you know, and I usually don't look at it till after it's all done. And usually sometimes briefly, sometimes, you know, for a while, and then put it away in my file. So what literally moved me out of the chair, you know, I didn't go to the time limit. When I'm short on time, I learned to practice that, yes, I can set a timer when I meditate, you know. It's gotten down to 12 minutes in the morning. I can set that clock for 12 minutes. I didn't always do that. And that's another thing I want to say. You know, I'm throwing some practices in here of what I do and some of my experiences, and it wasn't necessarily the first thing I did. You know, this is a process. My sober date is June 1st, 2004. So there's a whole stream of events. There's not just one fourth step. There's not just, you know, one seventh step experience that has happened to me. It's been a continuum. I wish that, I pray that for everybody, because as long as we're constantly in motion in this endeavor, in this work, it's the fruits of the labor. They just keep multiplying, you know. This comes to me and as my conspiracy theory about myself, all right? Going into how it works, the lies that I've told myself that I have completely believed in them, my old truth of who I am and how life has to be smashed, but how? Well, this is what came to me, and I realized these were my ABCs, that I have to be pretty badly mangled. I understand I have no choice or power in drinking, and that my alcoholic mind is unmanageable, and for me, I was quite the deranged bastard. Only God can restore me to my natural being. So that is just kind of to kick us off into the pages, and bless you. And I throw in here some words of music, and I want to put it out there that, you know, I could not sit still for a while, probably close to, you know, I don't know, 8 months. Very difficult to get quiet. My head was just raging, you know, cyclone, you know, tornadoes going through all the time. Not much quiet. And music was something that I found that I could sit and listen to my favorite music. You know, I could sit, and some of my music, Grateful Dead, you know, some of it gets kind of spacey. And but you know what? That allowed me to mellow down a little bit, to get quiet a little bit. You know, there's nothing that says, you know, this meditation stuff that, you know, oh, boom, I'm supposed to get it. I think fear keeps a lot of us away from experimenting and trying new things. I ran into people all over that talked about it. Well, they talked about it, and then they said there's a workshop on it. So I go to a workshop, or I went to a big book weekend, and, you know, they had morning meditation led by a person. And I experienced this stuff. I asked questions. You know, one thing that I'm very grateful for, and we're going to cover it tonight, in that fear prayer in these pages, that just like I said it last night, before I went into the rest of this outline. I've said it often before, and it has opened the door for me to experience a lot of stuff that, when you think about it, you know, it talks about, the book talks about revolutionary changes. You know, we hear that statement in AA, don't make any major changes in the first year. How many people does that kill? You know, this is revolutionary to me. You know, the thought of, you know, meditation, getting quiet, I've never experienced that in my life. You know, it's kind of like I said last week, I have some chronic pain conditions. I really can't remember what it was like to walk around feeling fit and healthy, you know, totally in no pain. I have no concept of, now I do, but I had no concept of what quiet was, you know, of what peace and quiet was. So, how it works, you know, it's read at so many meetings. And a friend of mine who has passed away as a result of this disease, though he died sober, thank God, gave me a tip, because I like I said, it was so sketchy early on. And he said, you know, have some literature with you. If you can't focus on a meeting, you got something to read. Well, at this point, I had been turned on to the Big Book. And I had started to go through the process with my sponsor. So I had my Big Book all the time, my little pocket Big Book. And I would read along. 9 out of 10 meetings today, I still open this little Big Book and I read along, because you know what? Once in a while, somebody leans over and says, what are you reading? I said, I'm reading along with the reading, you know, how it works. Oh, where's that? You know, it's in our Big Book. All right. I wonder how many people don't even get that. Okay, and this page 58 is so chock full of the second step, and it took me a while to understand it, and I've broken it down a little bit here in my own words. Again, not trying to say I've covered every point, but you know, basically, there's honesty is the key to how it works. Okay, so honesty is the key. So I'm in AA and I'm honestly seeking sobriety, I'm honestly seeking a spiritual experience. Yet, I get down to this line that says, there are those too who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders. My heart went out to those other people in AA. For months, okay? You know, duly addicted, you know, they're I'm manic depressant, you know, I have bipolar or whatever. This is what my, you know, very clear, you know, 100-day mind is telling me, right? And I missed it all. And I didn't realize that that's me. That's us. That's alcoholism. As I said, you twit. You know, any into Monty Python? You ever see the twit competition where they can't jump over a matchbox? You know, that's how low this thing is. That's how easy, how simple this line, this sentence is. But I missed it for months. Nobody pointed it out to me. You know, I actually experienced it while reading along one day at, you know, whatever meeting it was. So, and that was probably one of the biggest things that happened to me with the book, and kind of kicked me along the way, you know. But I understood here that honesty is mentioned, and as Bill's habit is three times, you know, driving the point home, you know, let's not miss it here. And it's constantly honesty, and that I have to give of myself, I have to follow this path, our path, which is the 12 steps. I have to give myself completely. This is, I have to grasp and develop a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. This is surrendering to this program, you know. Surrendering, finally now, second step, okay, I get that. And I'm all in. And I'm moving forward, and, you know, I'm a four-time college dropout, and math was not my best, you know, by any means, okay? I had mentioned last week that I had done a stint at West Point, and I still have they tell you every week, you know, where you rank in your class and all. And I think at the time, out of 1,242 cadets in my plebe class, in math, I ranked 1,236. And I was very proud of that because I was 0.0002 thousandths of a point, you know, passing, you know. But I'm not too good at math. But there's one math question on page 59 which I got to understand. And it is that one who has all power. That one is God. All power. Okay, Rob, if God's got all the power, how much you got?
Zero.
Zero. You know, that I got because the previous page has made me totally, I accept, I'm screwed. I better start finding him now. I had this moment of clarity that I am actually way worse than I really even think I am. Okay? And think is the key word here. Okay? And I'm not going to jump ahead. I'm going to try not to jump ahead too much because this thinking mind, this keen alcoholic thinking mind, you know, that statement that, you know, alcoholics are really generally intelligent people. The only people I ever heard tell me that are alcoholics. All right. I don't know about that. Okay. All right. But we move on, and after the 12 steps are outlined here, and the ABCs, and after the ABCs on 60, being convinced. Whoa, we are at step 3. Well, okay, convinced of what? I have to go back and look at those and say, okay, Rob, were you an alcoholic that could not manage your own life? Yes. And probably no human power could have relieved your alcoholism, Rob. Correct. And that God couldn't if he were sought, and I desperately hope so. I desperately wanted that to be true. So we're getting into the great analogy of the actor and the director. You know, we are like the actor who wants to run the whole show. I would say I never remembered a mellow day before, you know, having a spiritual awakening, a calm day. I had so much on my plate that I had to run and control and manage my family, keep my parents in their proper place, run a business, manage those people and off those customers. You know, if they just only did it the way I told them to, I mean, I was herding cats, as it's referred to. I mean, I had to manage the world. And then, when things weren't crazy enough, I had to turn on talk radio. And I'd be either arguing with the radio, or what the radio was arguing about, or raging out the window at the other guy in the car in front of me that's going too slow, you know, who, you know, just pulled over and he probably just had a heart attack. I was just so wrapped up in this weird reality, not a new reality. That's what I'm trying to get to here through the process of the pages tonight, a new reality. But there's good news, and the good news is page 62 is often referred to in a potent paragraph about selfishness, self-centeredness, that we think is the root of our troubles. Well, that's what I said earlier. Thank God that the problem is me, okay? That something can be done about this. But, you know, I'm a selfish bastard and I'm driven by 100 forms of fear, delusion, self-seeking, and pity in all my decisions. I find out very shortly after this, as I enter into doing my fourth step, that, yes, I have made decisions in the past based on self that I thought placed me in a position I'd be hurt, you know, back then or even today. Okay, when I do spot check inventory, okay? This stuff doesn't just go poof in a way. I'm happy to say, you know, is it 80% gone? Yeah. As long as I maintain the disciplines and the practices and continually have an experience which I'm grateful that I do, because I'm working with other guys, so I'm constantly going through the work with them. I'm going through my work again. I've got a group of guys that, when I went through it, the inventory and all the first time, it was in a small group of guys, actually. Last week I told about, you know, the living room on Tuesday nights, and I was so fired up by what I heard on the discs, and they just told me to go home and read my big book, because they're just reading the big book on tape. And then, you know, hearing other speakers and getting awakened to what the message was. I heard a very clear and concise message. So the troubles are of my own making, and I get that. And the employer, I get that. Go to some friends at meetings that you haven't been to in a while, and they say, "How you doing?" And say, "Great, I got a new employer." "Oh, really? What are you doing?" "I don't know yet, but I got a new employer." What's your job? What are you doing?" "Well, I'm an agent of God." You know, if they don't get it by then, "I'm an agent of God," and you know, and they go, "Oh, ha, ha, ha," you know, and then they leave, and then they're talking over here, and they're going, "He just stay away from him." But I'm happy to say that I've awakened to the fact that that's what my job is, you know, and it's pretty cool. Just like coming here, you know, I'm giddy, you know, to be able to do this. But let's take a look at these third step promises before we even say the prayer. We had a new employer, being all powerful. Here we go, another reflection back on the God has all the power. He provided what we needed if we kept close to him and performed his work well. Well, if we kept close to him, earlier on we read, he doesn't make such too difficult terms for those who seek him. So if I am in this constant state of motion, of movement in the program, then I'm staying close, but perform his work well. Well, you know, we say the work to do the steps and all, but really the work is working with others and carrying this message. So I have to be doing that. Established on such a footing, we became less and less interested in ourselves. That happened. I have a check. Our little plans and designs, yes. More and more, we became interested in seeing what we could contribute to life. You know, even I got guys that are only days or a week or two in and just starting to go through the book with me and already realizing that part of their, you know, what the whole relapse was, their selfishness, self-centeredness, that came right back, and then all the fears and everything else and resentments. But they are on a new footing now, and they realize that they want to contribute more. They realize that what began as backing away from AA, you know, the one thing we have to all be worried about, I had to worry about, the AA trilogy, you know, getting the car, the girl, the house, the job, you know, take your pick of what they are. That we don't start, you know, indulging in worship of other things, you know, outside of what our primary purpose is. I mean, that's what I have found. As we felt new power flow in, and we, okay, there's a promise, and we enjoyed a peace of mind. First peace of mind I ever found. It was going over the Triborough Bridge. It used to be called the Triborough Bridge, the JFK Bridge or RFK Bridge. And I just finished a hour-long phone conversation, amends, sitting in the car in Manhattan, because the person I was making the amends to was now married. So I was not given permission to go see her, but she had time to talk, so we did that. And I was coming over that bridge, and it just, again, I'm jumping ahead a bit, but to make a point that it was like time stood still. You know, it was... I surf, so it's that whole thing of, you know, time is expanded in the tube, you know, it's just like, you know, you're in a vortex. And you know, everybody else is moving around you, but you're standing still. And this seems to be going on for quite some time. And then all of a sudden, whoa, I'm in the car on the Triborough Bridge. Well, I've been here for quite some time, I think. Who knows? Could have been an instant. But I had a moment, a peace of mind. And I was overwhelmed with joy. I started bawling my eyes out. I'm on my way to a buddy's house in the program. That was one of the most vivid, and I think the first moment of peace of mind that I had. So, you know, it didn't come in meditation, you know, because I can't say that I was really making amends. I was meditating then, but very, very early on. So if we could, as a group, if we, those who have our book here, because I think this is, you know, at times for me, the most powerful prayer that I believe in. And if we could read it together. God, I offer myself to thee, to build with me and do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, thy way of life. May I do thy will always. Wow, there is no amen. There is no amen. Let's just keep going with this, you know? Now, very desirable to take the step with an understanding person. Okay, it was not my wife. it was not a spiritual advisor. It was later on, but not the first time, that I really had an effect. And that immediate effect, often a great, very great one. But there's something that I want to suggest to folks if you haven't heard about it before. But this sentence here that says, the wording was, of course, quite optional, so long as we express the idea of voicing it without reservation. So let me read you my third step prayer that's been with me for almost 8 years, after we all read what the actual prayer. And I pray, God, I place my life in your hands to make me into the person you would have me be and guide me to do your work as you see fit. Relieve me and save me from myself, my ego, so that I do your will as best as you would have me. Relieve me of that which blocks me from you, my drama and my old way of thinking, that by becoming anew, I may be an example to those I would help, so they too may see thy power, love, and the way of life. And that's mine, and I carry it ever since. It's the second version. I remodeled it quite promptly, bless you. But I think that's very important. I think it's very important. Today, third step prayers I do with sponsees on our knees as it was. You know, call me old-fashioned. I call myself, if someone asks, I'm a traditionalist. I'm into traditional AA recovery. I'm into the big book. Call me a thumper. I don't care. But I'm into the basics and the way they did it, because, you know, we read in the prefaces, the forwards, about what the success rate was back when. So, you know, I went to an AA area convention down in South Jersey somewhere between 5 and 6 months. Hadn't yet really, you know, gotten plugged in. And a guy who was the area chair, which I didn't know what that meant or what his job was or anything. Anyway, for some reason, the guy I was with, a buddy of mine, knew him. And I'm just walking down the hallway, and he stops, and he says, son. I mean, he was slightly older than me, but, you know, son, he says, there's a renaissance happening in AA. Get on the train and stay on the train. And I didn't know what he was talking about, but I do now. And this is the renaissance. This is the comeback of the big book and doing the steps as it's outlined in the book. So this third step prayer is great, but I have to believe it. I have to do it. I have to start living this. Well, how? Well, the book tells me this is only a beginning. Okay? Next, we launched, and we all have heard that. When? Do I wait? Oh, wait a year. Step a year. Oh, no. When? Next. You know, look, I usually it's quite a moving experience to do the third step prayer with people, and I give that next is they can start writing right then and there, or usually they'll go home and start on their own, and usually then they start having a third step experience in their life as a result of that prayer, and they start saying it every day, maybe a couple of times a day. And that helps to open the door to when next is, okay? But any delay, as far as I'm concerned, more than a few weeks, you see, if there's any break in the action that is comes from me, you know, like, I think I should slow down. Yeah, no. That's where sponsors got to keep people moving, in my experience. And many of you, I just put this in here, you know, it's an outside book, but, you know, Chuck, see a new pair of glasses. You know, the purpose here is for this step is to uncover, discover, and discard this and the upcoming steps. And that's what we're going to do. Now, how do I ask it? A group, yes, you know. Has everybody done one or more four steps?
Yes.
So most of the group, and it's not nice to single out or say, oh, who's new, and, you know, all that stuff. I don't like to do that. Huh? We're all new. Right. That is the essence of the prayer that we open the meeting up with, the lay-aside prayer. I got to lay aside. I got to set aside. Hell, I got to do that every time I go to home group. I hope they do it for me. but, you know, going into the four-step look, it's real simple because it's in the book. It's not complicated. It's four columns. We go top to bottom, first column all the way down, second column. Because when you get somebody right in their resentments, who do you hate, who are you pissed off at, etc. Anybody can do that. You know, we want to do that. I did that. I was not instructed by my sponsor to do this. I was instructed by the book, and so I did it. And then I brought it to my sponsor. I got a new sponsor soon after. But the man loved me, and he helped me, and he saved my butt quite a few times, okay? So I want to say that right here. I'm going through this, and on the instructions pop up on 64, the bottom. And I'm going to get back to the spiritual malady here. But with resentments, we set them on paper. First column, we listed people, institutions, and principles when we were angry. Two, we asked ourselves why we were angry. And in most cases, we found out why. And our grudge list, we were burned up. Was it our self-esteem, security, and ambitions, or personal sex relations? One, two, and three. It's right there. I don't need to go into big details, okay? However, what launched me into doing this real promptly was this line, which is a promise. The sentence before, which is that when the spiritual malady is overcome, we straighten out mentally and physically. I was hearing the opposite for months. Oh, just, you know, you got to dry out, you know, let the cobwebs, you know, get out of your head, and, you know, start eating healthy, and, you know, you get physically better, go to the gym. You know, work on your anger, go to the gym. Oh, that didn't work. I had an anger rage. I had a rage blackout, I'm sorry. I'm not sure if I mentioned that last week. I think I did. But I had a rage blackout, and it was violent, and it was crazy, and but a very spiritual experience when I came to. And that catapulted me into, I was stalling here. I was stalling. I felt really good from that third step experience, and I stalled out a little bit. I'm going to the first time. So... the spirit has to be worked on. It has to be overcome before this other stuff happens. Not, as I said, 90 and 90, keep coming back, fake it till you make it, all that stuff. That kills people, that keeps people away from doing this stuff. Because as soon as I get into doing this, I start having a new sense of who I was. And two major themes that almost everything fell into the category was, they abandoned me, those bastards, they left me, from women to best buddies, the guys in the service, they never called. Of course not. They didn't abandon me. They ran for survival to get away from me. They were looking to save their lives. I was a lunatic, a maniac. I kidnapped people to go on with the party longer than they wanted to. I was out in Washington State, and I'm going on a business tour of facilities, and I'm with the person that knows me most of my lifetime. She grew up in the business out in Washington State. I grew up in the business here. Our parents knew each other and worked together, and so I go out there, and she was rather tired, and so she fell asleep and gave me the keys. Big mistake. I pulled into the rest stop, got gas, and there were some kids there. Some kids there selling tickets. They're going to, it just slipped my mind. Okay. Anyway, to a concert. Okay? All right? Seemed like a good idea at the time. I bought the tickets. I got in the car. I gently got off at the next exit, did a U-turn, and drove 3 hours west. Dave Matthews. And drove west to the Gorge. Okay? The Gorge. Anybody know what the Gorge? We've been there. Gorgeous, right? Gorgeous. Yeah. Okay. But she comes too. You know, now I'm powered a few. You know, taking some other non-conference approved material. You know, I had my back snapped. And she calls her children crying because she had some place to be. I'm like, it's okay. We're going to have a good time. Are you nuts? This woman ran away from me. She did not abandon me. She would not talk to me for years. She would not answer my calls. She would not do business with me. Legitimate business. No kidding. You know? I wouldn't do business with me. So I'm going to keep it short examples, but that's just one. Okay? And it followed through everywhere. And the other was that I was one pissed off son of a gun. I hated, I raged, everybody, you don't know how difficult you make life for me. And I don't care who you are. And listen, folks, if anybody still, in the sound of my voice, still has resentment against the church of their youth, you should have put it on your four-step and go do another one. Put it on there. The 12 commandments. You know, I understand about not killing somebody. I get that. But come on. If I really want to covet your wife... that bothered me, you know, that I was up against the wall there, you know, so I had to stop going to church because, you know, I wanted to covet things, okay? I had to put marriage vows on my four-step list, on my first column, because, geez, till death do we part, sickness and health, craziness, you crazy woman, you married me, you're crazy. You know, put these things down, institutions, principles, okay, not just people. So, and this is not in the book, so I'm saying that, but as I said, I did my first four step without sponsor, with the book, and the guidance of speakers and a workshop, okay? So I didn't hesitate when that spiritual window blows open and that fresh wind of knowledge comes and I hold on to it and I get it for a minute, I got to act on it. Because you know what? I don't care. Meditation or a good idea or you hear something good in a meeting, you know, if you think it or it comes to you and you don't do anything about it and you keep thinking about it, that's called fantasy, okay? There's nothing in here. It's action, action, action. Okay, so I went to the 12 and 12, and I don't read this much, but that night I read this before I was sitting to read, to write. And I went to the fourth step, and all I put it in the notes here, page 48, the seven deadly sins. Just consider it. Maybe you want to look at it at another time. And what was quite interesting, and I do this with my guys, is, you know, we go through the seven deadly sins. Okay, one of the exercises is write your definition of each of the sins. Now go to a dictionary and see what you find. And I suggest to try to find an old dictionary. Like I carry one from 1949 that I got from my parents, okay? Because it's closer to the generation that the book is written in rather than today. So that might be a fun exercise if you so choose to. We've got two great prayers in these pages here. The anger prayer, which that we need to do and understand in order to thoroughly do that fourth column, okay? And on page 67. It starts on the bottom of 66. This was our course. We realized that the people who wronged us were perhaps spiritually sick. That was a concept I could get, because I still was holding on to a little bit of their part, which I put in the notation here after this, and the book tells me, no, we're not holding on to any part. Though we did not like their symptoms and the way they disturbed us, they, like ourselves, were sick too. We ask God to help us. Every time the book, we ask God, it's prayer. It's prayer. And prayer for me is usually followed with some sort of meditation. And I should say that I prayed whatever prayers I prayed when I sat down to write this. And I had a similar experience to what I had last night writing this worksheet, is that when I come out of meditation and I just start writing, 2.5 hours later, I'm done. And I don't know where the time's gone. You know, I think I'm in my man room, I call it. I don't know. I have no idea how long. That's one way that I can judge that I've been moved by the Spirit, because I kind of lose my sense of worldly things, one might say. So we ask God to help us show them the same tolerance, pity, and patience we would cheerfully grant a sick friend. When a person offended, we said to ourselves, this is a sick man, how can I be helpful to him? God, save me, not them, me, from being angry, thy will be done. And no, we don't put ourselves on our inventory. We don't put ourselves on our 8-step amends lists, you selfish bastards. We don't, okay? And it says here, we're not leaving any part. It's all me. There's no allowance for holding on to someone else's part. We resolutely looked at our own mistake. Where were we to blame? The inventory was ours, or I'm turning this to mine. When we saw our faults, we listed them. Bill, 3 times. There he goes again. All right, it's me. Okay? I'm not looking at my part. It's all me. And by the time I get to the 4th column, and I go top to bottom, I start understanding this. And then the fear prayer on page, I got to show you this. Okay, look, I just thought of this to bring for a chuckle, but I don't care if somebody's got half a page of resentments, or it's just coming out. One guy that I sponsored, and he was up in upstate 2 hours from here, and listen, nobody would stick with him sponsoring. He had outside issues. And he told me, and I asked him, I said, did you tell the other guys in your group? I got 242 resentments. How many do you think are on this board? This is what the inside of a 19-year-old young person, alcoholic, okay? You know, and there's stuff on the back, too. It couldn't fit in a notebook, all right? And that guy that said, I got 242, I knew I have no right to stop, slow down, alter the process that God is running with people. But as a sponsor, that's any lengths for a sponsor. I said I'd sponsor the guy. I got to go through that stuff with them. But you know what? It became real clear. Same as if I read this stuff closely on this board. Okay? It's columns here. How can anybody live? This is what's going inside their head. My head. Our heads. Unless we do this stuff. And I am sorry. This is the alcoholic mind in action. And if I don't do this, I'm doomed. And this young fellow I knew would be doomed. But I also had a sense that as we got to, you know, number 42, I said, wait a minute. I said, let's go to number 182. And then let's go to number 212. And one or two more. And guess what? They all fit. They all fit what had already been uncovered. Okay? And now we're going to discard it. Okay? And that's 5th step. We're going to discard it. We're going to talk about it. Okay? So, you know, buckle in when we say we're sponsoring somebody. And, you know, patience, tolerance, love and tolerance is our code, you know? So let's remember that. Because people had it with me. Reviewing our fears. I'm supposed to review my fears. I'm supposed to write a fears list, it says here on page 68. paid, right? Some people do their inventory, and then they're talking one day at a meeting about fears and all of this, and I go, well, did you write your fears list? No. You said you did your inventory. Yeah, but I didn't write a fears list. Okay, let's, you know, maybe you want to talk to your sponsor and suggest, why don't you read the book? I always just go back to the book. It's not me against anybody else, or we're not critiquing each other as sponsors and all. But if I'm just coming out of the book, I got a much better chance of sticking to the facts. But the fear prayer, I said I do it whenever I'm engaging in something that, well, it's more like this. I hope I do a good job here. I hope I carry a good message. That's a little fear. It's pride. Oh, I want to be good. It's pride. What's behind the pride? The fear. The fear is that I'm not going to be good. Is that, you know? So I do this. The example of my fear prayer that I was telling people to say the fear prayer, and I got an assignment going to NARASA. Who knows what NARASA is? Okay. Wow. That's for another day. It's a service meeting from Maryland to Maine. All the districts, all the counties, all the areas, all the GSRs, all the groups, oh, they all come, all the DCMs, all of that stuff, all right? And we talk about service outside the home group and the functioning, the 12 concepts, the AA service manual. I'm going to make a note to talk about this later, but 1,000 Alcoholics in Action, everybody's in service outside the home group. It's how our group conscience gets carried and voted on and carried to the conference. And I'll save that for in the our 12-step session. And my sponsor, I made a statement. I said, my service sponsor, and I said, you know, I hope someday I can, you know enough to, you know, give a presentation that I had heard for 2-3 years at other NARASAs and Northeast Regional AA Service Assembly. And he knew the guy who was running the show up in Maine, so I got an assignment. And I got an assignment to do the charter. It'll come back to me, but bylaws and charter. Real nitty gritty, dull nuts and bolts. But guess what? I had to go deep into AA service material, go back 20 years, research, talk to my area chair, and get all this information. And I had all this information in front of me. I came with notebooks, a 6-hour drive with my sponsor. I was still out of my mind. And I'm sitting in the hotel room, and I'm like, and we got to have it written because it's translated into 3 languages when we're there, because Maine, Canada, French, Spanish. Okay. And I go into the prayer, and like a mantra, I'm saying the fear prayer, God, you know, direct me to what you would have me be. Remove this fear of, I don't know what I'm saying. There's 1,000 people in attendance, and I know 850 of them know more than me on this topic, and I am in fear. I'm up all night. The next day, I say this prayer like a mantra. I just go right into a meditation. I come out. I don't even remember picking up the pen. I wrote it. I showed it to my sponsor. He said, read it to me. You only have 10 minutes. I read it the first time through, 9 minutes and 30 seconds. If that's not God-inspired, I couldn't tell you exactly what I read. I still have it at home. That's how that prayer can work. Now, sex inventory. Whoopee! Again, we're directed here in these pages that wherever the book tells me to ask God, I'm praying. But there's something very vital in this sex inventory. You know, it's talking about relationships too. It gets us talking about the sex relationship first, and then it bleeds over into our relationships and with people. Because I had to plug in the relationships with my mother, my father, my kids. I did that in here, okay? And I did this inventory, and whatever my ideal, you know, I think it's going to turn out to be, it's not, you know. She's going to be, well, you know, blonde. No, that's not what we're talking about, Rob. You know, we're not talking about your physical attributes. Well, you know, I want to be kind and loving and considerate and supportive and all that. Oh, were you like that to your relationships in the pit? No. Oh, so maybe you're the one that has to be kind and considerate and all of this stuff. Oh, yes. Okay. God will direct me to, through prayer and meditation, of what the ideal situation and relationship should be. And what came to me was that I needed to do inventory again. All right, as I'm working on this. So I did another sex inventory with an outside person, my spiritual advisor. And what came out of that three-hour session of doing, going through everything and all relationships was, you know what, it's come down to, I've made all the amends I was consciously aware of. All right, there was a time that elapsed from the first sex inventory to the second. And so I did most of my amends. Only one person wouldn't hear my amends to this day, and to that day, my sister. And I was having trouble, and I was creating friction with certain women, both in service and in my home, in my groups. And I realized it was me. But it took a while for me to realize that. And it meant writing a lot of inventory, a lot of nightly review, day after day, week after week, in different situations, and then seeing, why is it always women popping up on my list? And with that information and the fact that the only person who wouldn't hear my amends was my sister, my spiritual advisor looked at me and said, do you think maybe you need to start treating your AA sisters like sisters? Women like sisters? Holy Toledo. I was still in a dive bombing marriage that was going toward divorce. I was not faithful way back when. And I'll tell you that, I got the experience of what being faithful was in the worst of times, you know. And I was, you know, celibate. I don't know any other term to say. But I was not concerned. And I got to tell you this, my other addiction was removed just like alcoholism was by my higher power because of going through all of this that I realized what a schmuck I've been. What a jerk I am, especially to women. I have no business of being in a relationship. So I spent 3 years in the man room on a couch. Pity the guys I sponsor who cry about being on the couch for a week or a month. I'm like, I'll talk to you in a year, maybe, okay? Because you're not going to get any sympathy. You deserve to be there. That's exactly where you're supposed to be, okay? If we all worked on this a little bit stronger, and a little bit, I know I'm getting close here, and we wouldn't have some of the issues we have in AA and in some groups, okay? And 13-stepping and all of that. This work would solve it, in my observation. Because the next part is the solution to the imperious urge is helping others and work for their needs, not mine. And in all of this stuff, I should be coming up with my character defect list. And the book tells me the rule is I must be hard. We must be hard on ourselves. So let's just do it. And we've only got a few minutes, so we'll start at chapter 6, into action, and the fifth step, which we didn't get into. And we're going to go, any questions? And if there's not time, and I apologize, I get so revved on this stuff to try to cover so much. Ask it, basket. You know, on your way out, I'm going to hang out to talk. I'd love to hear your experience. And if you want to drop a card in here, and if there's any Ask It Basket cards, we'll start off with some questions next week. Okay, I like to do this Ask It Basket, you know. Anybody here with sponsees? Maybe you don't want to, you know, ask a question that you think you should know because your sponsee is with you. Okay, anonymity. Thanks a lot, guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Robert. I'm going to close with our format. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your house is in order. But you obviously cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and for countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks. Thanks a lot, Ron. Appreciate it.
Okay. All right. You guys still in the front row from last week? Well, okay. All right.
I noticed you said you don't use it.
No.
You bring in the stack next week?
Take them. If you want to take any extra of the printouts for whatever reason, you know, they're here.
I want to leave it. So
no, I got tons.
I got tons.
You keep losing it? How you do that? I can't see. Hit the red button. Off. Hit the red button. Off. Or that record.